Then I lose.
What about in the room?
No, because I know you got that too.
First of all, now you were born in Dougherty County, Georgia. Did I pronounce that correctly?
Well, you got me on that. I was born in Auburn, Georgia.
Right.
Which now, if you say what county that was in, then you lost.
Okay.
But the name of the town is Auburn, Georgia.
Now I understand you left there when about 2 months old and went to Greenville.
Yeah, that's well, you know, somewhere along in there. I was much too small to remember the city. My parents, you're quite right, we moved there when I was about 3 or 4 months old. And I was reared in Greenville, Florida, and I went to school in St. Augustine.
I see. Now, in St. Augustine, I understand you went to the deaf and blind school.
Exactly.
And you started studying classical music. Did I read that correctly?
Yeah, that's correct.
Well, now, how did you, tonight, when you playing a little bit of Fairlise, you know, I said, wait one moment here, what's going on? Because I've heard. But anyway, how did you happen to get from that into some of the gospel idiom that I hear?
Well, I wanted to learn music because, first of all, I wanted to write it. So that you cannot write it unless you study it. Simple as that. So I start to study. What may surprise you, though, is that piano, although I was playing piano before I started in school, but piano was not the instrument that I took up when I was, when I first started taking up training. I took up clarinet.
Clarinet?
Yes, because they had enough piano players. They got enough of a certain thing, so you got to take something out. Well, I always loved Artie Shaw. I thought he was, you're talking about a genius. I really thought the man, of course everybody was talking about Benny Goodman, but I thought Artie Shaw would play everything Benny Goodman played and more with feeling. So I loved Artie Shaw, so I started to study the clarinet at first when I went to school. So. This was my little musical training. Of course, later on, I did take a piano, obviously.
Well, how old were you in that when you changed from clarinet to piano?
Oh, I was about eight, somewhere around there, eight or nine.
Now, were you hearing?
Well, actually, what happened, I didn't change from, I just kept playing the clarinet while I took a piano.
Oh, I see. Well, now, were you hearing as much as you obviously hear now as a little boy? Because I'm at the School of Music. I work for PBS,
yeah.
But I also am a professor at the School of Music. So
yeah.
Tonight, I heard the changes, and I was intellectualizing what you were doing. Now, I want to know, as a child, were you hearing the chord changes that I know that obviously you have to hear in order to do that?
Oh, yeah. You're quite right. I did hear. I hate to sound like, you see, don't think about a question like that, it makes one sound like he's bragging.
No,
one was on horn. But no, I've always been able to hear or come close I have what they call perfect pitch, you know, meaning I can hear the chords, where I can hear what note you hit, you know, without you telling
right.
me and stuff like that. But I could always hear that. But I think what was important with me, with the music, is that I couldn't, there was no way I could get away from it, if you know what I mean. I mean, the thing with studying classical music, as you asked me about at first, I wanted to learn because I love good music. I don't care what kind it is, whether it's jazz or classical or whether it's country.
Oh, wow.
I just love music when it's played good, when it's played well. I mean, that's the proper terminology. And so, but where I got in trouble in school, my teacher was very strict, you know. She was, all my teachers, as a matter of fact, was very classical orientated. I mean, they did not want to hear nothing from nothing. Beethoven or Sibelius or Rachmaninoff or Chopin. I mean, that was it. And so with me, I didn't mind that so much, but I also wanted to go.
Too much.
And the teacher would come in and say, what? That's not your lesson. You can't play that, you know. But, you know, it was something about, I think the transition between classical and jazz music. You see, although I wanted to learn music, and I wanted to learn classical music because I respected it, I also wanted to create. And then, of course, you know, in classical music, that there is no creating. You play what's on the paper.
Right.
That's it. And I wanted to go beyond that. And so the transition was right there. You know, although my teachers would give me trouble for not practicing my lesson, but I practiced enough in order to do what they wanted me to do. But I guess I was sort of rebellious, but I was a good student, so they didn't hurt me too bad.
Did you get any of this from your mother, Aretha? Is that her?
No. No, I had no parents. My mother, my father, neither played or sung nothing. And that's what's very strange, because my children, my sons, their mother sings and I sing. They can't carry a tune in the So you know all that stuff about, well, you know, his father was a great, well, his mother was a great. Believe me, it don't always work out that way.
All right, what about the church then? How much did the church influence you if your mother and your father didn't then?
Well, the church was, again, music. All music influenced me. Let's understand that. All music. Every form of music that I ever heard in my life. If it was good, it influenced me in some way. And the church music or religious music was no exception. As a matter of fact, I was raised in the old-fashioned Baptist church where they didn't have no piano, no organ. And they would sing these hymns, these mournful things, and hymns where sometimes the preacher would say the verse and then the congregation would sing the song, sing the words after he said
it. Like Amazing Grace.
Okay,
I've been there.
So you know what I'm talking about.
Right.
Well, I'm from one of those type of churches, you know, Baptist church. Like
right.
Well, that's good music. That will make you cry. You know, it will hurt you, you know. And yet, if they got a one of those real high rhythmic tunes, it'll make you jump out of your seat. You see? And this is what I mean by, music is really my blood. What can I tell you? Mm-hmm. I am not of any type of music. Somebody once said Ray Charles, the blues singer. I think that's wrong. I really do. I think that although I wouldn't mind it if I was a blues singer, but I don't think that's correct. I think that if someone wanted to say it, they could say Ray Charles, the person who sings the blues. Ray Charles, the person who sings country and western music. Or Ray Charles, the person who sings jazz music. But I am neither of these. I mean, you could not call, I wouldn't say I'm a jazz singer, or I'm a country singer, or I'm a blues singer, but I'm a singer who sings these things.
Let me ask you, I feel like it's just been to a sermon, actually. But really, this is wonderful. But I got to ask you another question.
All right.
And I won't bear your patience.
Really? Right.
My mama told me to go to church Sunday. This is terrific. Now, we all are trying to go somewhere with our artistry. And I think when I saw you tonight, I mean, it was a full experience for me. And this is less professional than it is personal, but I don't care. What the hell?
That's right.
Now, I said to myself, okay, this man will be so many years old tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I hope I can hear him say 25, 35 years from now. Do you hope to be doing the same kind of thing, or do you feel yourself moving towards something?
That's an interesting question. Because you see, one has to be careful how one answers it. When you say, "Do I expect to be doing the same thing?" I don't really know what you actually mean. Obviously, I hope I'm not doing the same thing, because today is Thursday and tomorrow will be Friday.
I guess I'm saying,
I hope that I'm doing different things. But then on the other hand, let me say this to you. If you're saying, do I feel that I will still be singing with feeling, with soul,
right,
or will I get away from Ray Charles? And the answer is no, I will not get away from myself. I will always be singing from my heart. I mean, that's it. When I sing, or when I perform, or whatever I play, I honestly play what I'm feeling. I will never change from that. But on the other hand, I hope that I'm mature enough that I can understand the difference between a rubber boat and a washing machine.
Thank you. listen, let me say that this has been a unique experience for me.
Yes, sir.
I talked to Ella Fitzgerald about 3 weeks ago in Detroit, mm-hmm. and I asked her, what would you say about Ray Charles? She's only one thing. He's a beautiful man.
All right.
All I can say that she took the words out of my mouth. You're a beautiful man.
Thank you. Well, I find that, if you are true to thyself, as the saying goes, I think people can sense that, and I'm that way in my music, and I think it comes across, I don't lie musically. Mm-hmm. In other words, what you see me do on stage is real.
Is.
If I don't feel it, it don't happen. I can't fake nothing.
Well, you obviously felt what was going on in that audience out there, and they felt it too.
You see, this is the thing. The audience is said, what can I say? The audience strikes the match. Or turns the switch for the electricity. They walk back and push the circuit breaker switch, which generates the electricity through me. And by that, I'm able to transmit, just like a radio station. You transmit your sound and your feeling back into the souls of the people. And this is what I'm all about, that's why I'm so fussy about sound, because I don't sell nothing else. I don't have snakes wrapped around me. I ain't got no flames coming out of my mouth. I don't jump off of rafters and I don't, haul up and tap the piano and destroy the keys. So all I do is sing and try to play this instrument. And sometimes, how an instrument will rebel.
Right.
It dare you to play it. But that's what I'm about, man, really. And I think when you are sincere in what you do, I really believe that the audience senses this the same as they sense like a person like a Betty Davis or a Humphrey Bogart. You always hear people trying to imitate and emulate people like that. But there's a reason for it. These people, when they were believable, and that's what I try to do, is be believable. And the best way to be believable is to be true to thyself. To go back to real thing. In other words, put yourself in the role of what you're doing.
Well, let me say that on that note, I'd like to end it. You are real. That's for sure. Thank you.